joined by Margaretta, which is a beautiful name, and you were just saying she was an actress from Shenfield.
I was born 1916, so this actress was, I suppose, 60, 70 when she died, but she was quite famous. But I would reckon she probably died around the 1950s.
Yeah.
50s or 60s, certainly. But I was named after my godmother in Ireland. And I left home when I was 18, went to Guy's Hospital.
Yep.
Always remember, little girl, that sometimes something that looks like a major disaster is the best possible thing that could have happened to you. My mother passed me off to London, to Guy's Hospital, where I did physio.
Right.
So I'm a qualified physiotherapist. And when I qualified, I didn't know what I wanted to do, so you got to find out what you do best.
Mm.
And I went to a big general hospital in Portsmouth, with all sorts of patients. And I treated one special man, young man, with a couple of broken legs, worked on the docks. And one day I looked out of the window, having treated him for a couple of months in bed and as an outpatient, I looked out of the window and he was running after a bus. And I said to myself, he's running on my willpower, not his. Because I bullied and coerced and coaxed him into moving when he thought he'd never move again.
Mm.
Anyway, so I thought, all right, where do I find lots and lots of fractures? In the coal mines of Yorkshire and Lancashire. And up there you get 85% of the patients in the pit areas, Doncaster, Halifax, Cheshire I worked in, all during the war from 1938 to 1945. And you get 85% of fractured spines. And they are quite difficult. They're quite challenging to treat. Because in those days, they could, during the war, could earn good money on the coal face. So they wanted to get back to work. There was no malingering like some of the soldiers. So that's what I did for years and years and years. I thought to myself, this is what I do best. I coerce and coax and bully people, if you like. You take on a job like that and you have got to be fairly positive.
Firm but fair. Is it firm but fair?
Bossy is the word. Don't repeat it. Don't.
No, I looked round then. I was like, who was that?
don't repeat it. But you need to be able to. I used to take classes of men, all backs.
Mm.
They put them in plaster for 3 months, 6 months or whatever. Take them out of plaster. They can't bend. They can't bend, so they've got to go back and work in a roof 4 foot high, 3 foot six sometimes, in a bad old pit. And there were lots of bad old pits in Yorkshire.
Mm.
So you got to get them moving. So I used to take them in batches of 20. 20 backs, 20 legs, 20 shoulders, 20 backs, and enjoy doing it. I went to Yorkshire in 1938. Once the women got working during the war in munitions and factories and driving ambulances and flying planes and one thing and another, once they did that, they were not going to go back to be domestic servants. There was no way as lot of the women I knew would go back to that ever again.
Mm.
And of course, it was a terrible shock for the aristocracy and for the upper middle class, whatever you like to call it. It was a terrible shock because they couldn't get staff.
Mm.
All of a sudden, they didn't have people touching the forelock.
Yeah.
They didn't have people bobbing around and, yes, madam, no, madam. It was more like that lost madam, So that was the different side that you saw straight after the war.
We sometimes forget you are somebody's baby. What were your mum and dad like?
My mother was a very quiet little person, but she was the worst. She was quite small, but with hindsight, I realised that mother was like most women are, the hub of the anchor for the family.
Mm.
The strength behind the family. She was very quiet and very correct. She must have had a dog's life with me, because I was an only child. I had a sister who was born 16 years later, so she was also an only child.
Yeah.
My father was a very convivial man. He was absolutely wonderful person. He didn't nag, he wasn't like the average father in those days was a bit autocratic. a bit bossy, a bit domineering. My old man was not. And when things happened that you would think a normal father would go berserk over, he never mentioned it till the day he died, that I took a car over and dropped it 6 foot into a bog, and we couldn't get it out.
You know. How long have you actually been in Brentwood?
1945.
What do you like and what changes have you seen? Because you would have seen
changes,
lots of
changes. Well, I mean, it's a completely different place. To start off with, there was a big gap. Brentwood was an isolated village, right, in 45, no doubt about it. And it was, there wasn't a single house. If you go from here on the bus to Romford, there wasn't a house on the right-hand side. Mm. Harold Wood wasn't built, like Basel, the new town wasn't built. Mm. Harlow wasn't built. So places were more, very much more isolated, you know. And Brentwood itself, you wouldn't believe, it was quite feudal. There were about 4 or 5 old families that had been around since Noah built the Ark. Mm-hmm. You had old Brigadier General de Rougemont living up in what used to be Goldings, now the New World Inn, now the de Rougemont, whatever.
Yeah.
And the parents lived in the house that's now a nursing home, right on the way to Upminster on the left-hand side, called the Squirrels. Right. Well, the old Brigadier and his wife lived there. And the old man was a patient of mine. And he said to me one day, I lost my son in the war. And I said, I'm very sorry to hear that, as one does. It took me some time to find out that he had 2. And the elder son had gone into the army, like his father, and got himself killed. And the second son was a bit of probably gay in those days, but nobody talked about it. Very, very conscious of the fact that his father was a Brigadier General or whatever he was, and very feudal. And I never forget what he tried once. He wasn't moving with the times, or he thought he could get away with murder. And he put a fence round Upminster Common.